And of course, that theme is for that one thing. That means you're tuned into the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Radio Association networks. That is the NCRA networks across Canada and across British Columbia. And we're on two networks on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. And of course, we're on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, and also online at cooperadio.org. We'd also like to thank the First Nations people from the Coast Salish Territories, from Musqueam to Squamish to Tsleil-Waututh. Thank you very much for broadcasting our stories and our documentaries. I'm Kelly Rayburn. Michael is on the assignment that I will be playing for you in just a few minutes. He'll be talking to Christine Amela Hayes, and I will get it set up for the interview right now. So you're going to be listening to Michael Rubin talking to Christine Amela Hayes on the Community Living Show. So enjoy.
Joining us today, we have Christine Amela Hayes. And Christine is an emotional freedom practitioner, and she's been doing this since 2003 and has advanced her skills since then and has helped people around the world with their emotional needs. So, good afternoon, Christine.
Hello, Michael.
So, what is a emotional freedom practitioner exactly?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. So emotional freedom therapy or technique was first discovered brought into the sort of 21st century by a guy called Gary Craig, who was actually an engineer. And when he retired, he decided he wanted to do something completely different, and he discovered that there was something that was speechless. So Gary Craig came up with something called the Emotional Freedom Technique. And he's been teaching that for quite a long time, and I have actually worked with him and attended seminars with him. But basically, it works on the principle of acupuncture, and we're tapping on various points of the body at the same time as talking to release emotional issues, you might say. So it can be anger, it can be sorrow, grief, it can be fear, and all of these emotions are kept, it's thought that they are kept in the body. And so by using this technique, we can actually help people who have serious issues, such as fear of flying, or, you know, fear of water, fear of spiders, says she, who was spider hunting today. And other emotional difficulties that keep them or prevent them from living an active and full life.
Okay. All right. So you help people with phobias and things like that also?
Yes. People with phobias. And, there's been quite a lot of documented evidence. Mm-hmm. They have done EFT in an airplane with people who were terrified. And one of those people was Whoopi Goldberg. And there is actually a YouTube video of her and EFT. Yeah. And it really does help you to... But it's almost you can forget about it, right? It's like... We keep working on it until eventually we get to the point where you can look at the spider and not freak out, or the snake, or get on an airplane and actually fly.
Rats.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I haven't done that one, but it's definitely one of those things.
Just saying.
Because people are.
Yeah. No,
you know, whether it's rational or irrational, it doesn't matter. It's what we've learnt as a response.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, that kind of makes sense. So, we had this kind of mapped out. We're going to say the who benefits and everything, and you actually got into the who benefits already. So, how exactly does it work? I mean, do you touch pressure points, or
there are different people working different ways, and you can work with the person and you can do the tapping for them.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, I prefer to do it. I tap and they follow along. And so it's, you're tapping on certain points on the body. So it starts off with the hand in the karate chop area or the side of the palm. And then we move to the head and we do certain points around the head. So it's top of the eye, side of the eye, under the nose, under the chin,
mm-hmm.
and collarbone, and under the arm. And there are, as I say, there are different practitioners that work on different points because they believe that there are, you know, there's more better results. But those are the ones that I use. And it works pretty well. Wow. And it's very easy to learn.
Well, I understand. I've understood the principles behind the points because they're this is probably the wrong word. They're like chakras.
They're meridians. Actually,
meridians. Yes. That's the word I was looking for. And I know that they're supposed to be energy points. And
correct.
If you can tap them,
yes.
you can move the energy,
yes.
or release energy.
Yes.
Whichever the
yeah.
person
so we are working
right?
on the same system as the an acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can see, sometimes you see those little dolls that the acupuncture people have, and they've got all these little tiny points that they can put the needle in. So we're working just on much smaller, and we're using, and we have, and they've seen that you get way better results if you actually speak out loud. So the body's listening. Our intellectual or emotional self is listening to everything we say.
Wow, that's pretty interesting too. So, the result is dimmed if you don't speak out.
Well,
so did you get your body experiences the whole thing, or what's...
Yeah. Now again, and I'm going to contradict myself because I know that if you're in a situation where it's not possible to speak. And there are certain points that you can use, and people have actually even, we're getting into advanced techniques here, but they've actually sat there and imagined that they could tap on those points and still had success. Now that really is taking it a step further.
Yeah, that one's out there,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
Like, wow.
And Gary Craig, who is, he's retired now, but he actually has taken it a step further too, because he actually is teaching people how to do the technique but without doing it. So in other words, he imagines that he's doing it and it still works. I haven't gone there yet with myself.
Right? Yeah, that's saying something pretty amazing about the our body,
yes,
our mind,
quite right.
and our spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's, you made me speechless.
And that's hard.
Right? Yeah, that's really hard. So how did you get started with all this?
Ah, yes, well, that's an interesting question. Up until 2003, I was a hotel manager, and I worked for Hyatt and Holiday Inns and some rather big and very well-known hotels around the world, but I was mostly in London, and I decided that I didn't want to do it anymore, and I took myself to New Zealand to experience something called a mystery school. So I was learning more about the techniques of spiritual healing and other wonderful, different, you might say, healing practices. And I had an apartment in London that I decided I would rent out, which had to pay for me to do what I was doing. So when I left, I hadn't got anybody in it, and I was panicking. And about a week into my trip, I was really panicking. And a friend said to me, I can help you with that. We'll do some EFT. So she did this EFT with me, and one of the words I can still hear in my mind, she said, the money's there, we just haven't seen it yet. And the very next day I went down, and there was the money in my bank.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all perfect. So I was so taken aback by this that when I went on the rest of my trip, and I was in Australia, and I was on a boat, and it was rough seas and everybody was being seasick, I started to think, how did she do that? And so I started tapping, and I didn't get seasick. And so when I got back to England after my trip, I thought, I'm going to do the course. So I went and took the course on how to do EFT as a practitioner. And I've never looked back, because truly, I have really seen for myself how amazing EFT is and what it can do for you just on a daily basis.
Oh. That's...
yeah.
We'll have to go through that together.
Yes, it's we like, will.
And yes, fill our yes, bank yes, accounts yes. again.
For sure.
Yeah. So, well, it's you're a brave person. You just decided to pack up your job and go to New Zealand on a trip.
I haven't actually gone back. I've been back for visits, but mm-hmm. I jumped off the cliff and I found my way to Canada quite by accident. I seriously didn't set out to come here, but come here I did, and. Yeah, I haven't looked back.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. You like I said, you're a brave person.
Thank you very much.
Most people can't seem to figure out how to. If they jump off the cliff, they smack bottom because they couldn't figure out how to build their wings along the way. And here's a prime example. It can be done, right?
You see, and that's the other thing about the EFT. I swear to God, I have tapped. It's a wonder I haven't got bruises all around my eyes and, you know, on my hands, because there have been challenges. It's not like it's a straightforward journey. My journey is the same as anybody else's. But this is what I love about EFT, is that it is a tool that I can use myself on a daily basis to help me keep walking forward and without fear. And that's what it's about.
So how did EFT help you travel?
Well, because, you know, I'm just a normal person and I have my worries about money, or I have my concerns about where am I going to stay, and all of those, you know, they're not silly because they're real, but at the same time, you know, they're just everyday things. And so if I got myself worked up because I was worried about where I was going to go next, or I didn't have anywhere to stay, or if I was running out of money, I would just do the tapping. And then somehow I had clarity to be able to think and figure it out without all that fear that is really debilitating most of the time.
So it's not. So we're not talking the EFT was a magic wand over your bank.
No, it's not a magic wand. No, sadly not. Yeah, sadly not.
It's a serious tool that helped you.
Yes.
Helped you think and see things.
Yes. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know that I lost my partner this year, and truly, it's mm-hmm. been a very devastating time. But I have used EFT to help me to move through a lot of that grief,
right?
And you know, I mean, you still go through it, right? It's not that you want to stop yourself from feeling, but it helps, or it has helped me to keep my head above water and to keep myself managing to be part of the world.
Is that sometimes that's just what we need, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Just to.
Yeah.
Okay, I can still breathe.
Yeah, that's it. And some days that's exactly, that was all it was. It was just like, overwhelm. Okay, let's just get through this day.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah.
So, I remember Deborah.
Yes.
Yeah. You two, okay, so the audience needs a little background on this one. I met Christine and Deborah at a, it was an entrepreneur blog group. That's what it was. Entrepreneurs and blogging. Yes. That's what it was. And I offered up a door prize for, because I was one of the sponsors for the event, and I offered up a door prize, a free photo shoot. Yep. And Christine and Deborah won. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when I showed up to do the photo shoot, I was like, oh, yeah. I didn't realize you two were partners. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is going to be cool, because I had never done, I've never done a same-sex couple. Never photographed a same-sex couple. And I was like, okay, is this going to be any different or whatever? All these things are going through your head. And I was like, and when we finally got down to doing it, you guys were just so much fun, so full of love. When I went to edit the whole thing, because that's like the easy part, mm-hmm. is going and snapping pictures. The hard part is actually going and editing. It's like when I went to edit the whole thing, it was like you just see it between the two of you in your eyes. It's like it's one of the things I love about photography is when you look at people, look into the subject's eyes, interestingly enough, it doesn't matter if it's a person or what the species is. Mm-hmm. When you can see into their eyes, that makes the great photograph. Yeah. And I have to say that you guys really helped me produce something that was really great for you.
It was really
how that shoot.
It was a great afternoon.
So, and when I heard that that Deborah had passed on, I was like, oh, it was a bit of a shock. So, with all that, mm-hmm. How has the EFT helped you with your grief process?
Well, you know, grief is it's an ongoing thing. It doesn't sort of stop. You know, every day is a challenge when you've lost somebody that you genuinely cared for, or it can even be somebody who you've lived your whole life with, and even if you didn't care for them, it's still somebody that's there, all right? And so, every day has been a different day, and some days are better than others. And so I would just sit and tap on the sorrow, you know, even though I feel so sad, because there's a protocol. So we start off by saying, even though I feel so sad, I deeply and profoundly accept who I am and how I feel about that. And so it's really just about dealing with the emotion and the physical response, right? So sometimes, you know, if you just want to sit and cry, well, you can't do it every day, right? So, you know, it's like, even though I have this sorrow and I feel so devastated and I can hardly get out of bed, right? So we just deal with whatever is presenting itself in the moment. And so every day is different, and it just helps to keep figuring it out and keep working on it.
You're tuned into the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. We're going to come back with the interview in just a moment here. And so we're going to come right back. I'm, of course, Kelly Rayburn on the controls, so we will be back in just a moment.
Do you want to voice this one?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Do you want me to voice it?
I can voice it. Yeah, please voice
That's
this one.
That's the wrong mic.
I forgot.
You dip. I can't believe I put up with this. And I asked for a grape soda, you asshole. Okay.
Due to a labor dispute, CITR is missing its star voice actors. That means if you're interested in producing PSAs, advertisements, and various other promotional wonders for airplay on the radio, we need you. Learn how to get involved with CITR's production department and all other facets of volunteering at CITR and Discorder Magazine at CITR.ca. programming, photography, media training, and more. Plus, a guest star in the lounge. No, wait, we can't promise that.
Can't believe I put up with this.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts around Commercial Drive and beyond at Pandora's Box Rehearsal Studio, Bomber Brewing, Storm Crow Tavern, People's Co-op Bookstore, Mintage, High Life Records and Music, Bone Rattle Music Limited, JQ Clothing Limited, The Rio Theater, The Vancouver Music Gallery, North Van, and Tapestry Music Limited and White Rock.
What would we do without our friends?
I'm Kelly, and we're doing the interview with Michael and our special guest, Christina Amelia Hayes. So we're going to go get back to the interview right now.
That's good advice, no matter who you are or what you're trying to do. It's like, because grief is, it's, most people don't really understand. They only think of grief can, should only happen in this case. Deborah passing, but there's other situations where grief happens. And you have to go through that process.
Yeah, it can be any loss, and that can be the loss of your health, your loss of your, you know, aging. I was thinking about that the other night. I was speaking to somebody who's getting on, and they feel pretty devastated because they're not able to do what they always have done. So that's a loss. And the same with, it can be the loss of a family member or a pet. You know, people, devastation if they've had a pet, you know, whether it's a cat or a dog or even a mouse, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You've got to bond with that.
Yeah.
So grieving is, it takes time.
Yeah. I hear stories from people that have chronic pain and or fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, and they all talk about, I used to be able to do that, and now it took it from me.
That's
And I say to them, I said, but you have to understand, you're grieving over the loss of the. And they're like, no, that's not grief. Grief is, it can only be this, and it's like, and you try to
make
people see that when anything's taken from you.
Well, I think with the work that I do and what I've seen is very often it's about understanding. And once the light goes on, then you can deal with it in a different way. But there's resistance. But, you know, people, the wonderful thing about the EFT, what I have found, is that there is more than one way. And so we can work by talking it through. But I discovered quite early on that there are people out there that I call head cases, and that's in the nicest possible way, right? There are people who overthink things. And so it's easier to work in a different way so they don't have to think. And so I've found that working with colour and feeling, so in other words, if you say, okay, Michael, where is the pain today? And you can say, well, the pain's in my elbow. And you'll say, okay, have a look. What color is it?
Right.
And you'll say, oh, it's bright red. And I'll say, great. How does it feel? And you'll say, well, it feels hot. Or cold. It doesn't matter. So then when we do the EFT, we say, even though I have this bright red elbow that's hot, and then we work with that until we get it down to a point where it's nothing. And it sounds like that's way too easy, but that's just it.
That would be overthinking again, wouldn't it?
It is overthinking, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You you're making a lot of sense with that. So what makes you so special at doing this?
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I've been doing it a long time, and I have had a lot of experience. I worked in some pretty cool places. I've lived and worked in Hong Kong. I've lived and worked in England, and I've lived and worked here now in Canada. Mm-hmm. And I've travelled and, you know, done the tapping in other places. So I've had a lot of experience with different thinking. I've even worked in Thailand and the Maldives on as a guest in some of these luxury spa places. That's been pretty special. But I've worked with the girls, so I've worked with, like, young Filipino girls that are working in some of these centres, and I've, you know, worked with some very top professional people too. And everybody has their own, what you can say, agenda. They have their own way of thinking. And so I guess my experience of working with people for the most part of my life has given me that ability to think slightly differently and also see things differently. And so, and I'm pretty good at trying to find a positive way of looking at situations. So all round, I've, you know, I think that my life experience helps to bring, you know, something that's quite unique.
Yeah. Okay. Not to sound like an absolute downer, but there's so many people out there that they have trouble seeing the upside.
Yes.
All they see is the loss, and they can't see the upside. How do you get people to flip it?
Well, it isn't a one session shot, okay? But what we're doing is initially we're clearing. So when we start, let's just say about your, I'm talking about your elbow. You haven't even got a bad envelope, but elbow, but I'm using that as an example. So if we worked with that. So what we do is, like, even though I have this sore elbow that's absolutely killing me, and we talk about what it is, and then what we do, something called reframing. So, but we have to get it down first, and then we reframe, and we take the problem and we make it a positive. So what could I say there? It's like, even though I have this sore elbow, and it really has been causing me a lot of trouble, I'm open to the possibility that it's able to correct itself beautifully. Mm-hmm. My body has an innate wisdom that allows it to self-heal. So we just use really positive statements, and also we can say, you know, we can use analogy. So in other words, I could say to you that the pain is melting away like an ice cube in the sun.
Oh, okay.
And that's a visual. Mm-hmm. But if you're a visual kind of person, but it's also you can actually, oh yeah, I get that, I can really feel that it's just melting away. And the power of the mind is incredible, because it works.
Yeah. I heard this one time, and you can tell me how it fits in, that if the skin is the largest organ on our body, the brain is the most powerful.
Well, now, here's an interesting thought, okay, because they've done tests at the Heart Math Institute that showed that the heart can actually anticipate what's coming.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Hey, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, so by they attach, you know, sort of things onto you to show that, you know, what it, where it is in the body that's actually picking up this information. And yeah, the heart is just as powerful, if not more powerful, than the brain. They're learning. I mean, science is catching up, right? Mm-hmm. So there's some really incredible. That's why I love YouTube. Because you can find all these things on there. Great resource for research.
I like how you say science is catching up. Science was being a former chemical engineer, and in the sciences, but science was never designed to tell us what is. It was designed to tell us what isn't.
Okay.
It's the answer. Yeah. It's the answer. The question. Well, it's not that. So it could be any of these other things. There's just a limitation of possibilities, but that doesn't mean that that science is the limitation. It's what's outside of science, and that's pretty infinite.
Wow.
So it was one of the really cool things. I had some pretty cool instructors in science that they said, no, you're not looking for the answer. You're looking to see what the answer isn't.
Right.
Now go back and try again. Huh. And it totally changes your way of thinking.
Yeah.
So science is saying, hey, there's more and more of this stuff going on. It's like, I like how energy is connected, you know?
Yeah.
So with what you're doing, you're helping people channel the energy in a positive way.
Yes. I suppose you could say it like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I had a young girl the other day who was dealing with issues at work, where she felt challenged and misunderstood. And, you know, by the end of the session, she had a different way of thinking about it. So we're not only releasing the tension and the stress, we're also giving positive affirmations, and also, I guess, really inviting them to think in a different way. So it doesn't matter, you know, and one lovely guy that I was working with, he having some really traumatic stress in his life, and he loved music, and we got to he explained to me that his favorite was Leonard Bernstein, and Leonard Bernstein actually had orchestrated without using his hands.
Okay, yeah.
So he was using his nodding of his head and his eyes to get the orchestra to do what they needed to do. So we built into his tapping that he could be Leonard Bernstein-like, because that meant he didn't have to use his voice or his, you know, his volatile nature to express himself. Well, he said to me, more than once, it changed his life, because he found that he didn't have to be, because he had real struggle with not replying instantly. It was like, you know, he was addicted to his Twitter account and his all of these different accounts. So he started to be much more able to separate it and to be rational and to understand that he did not have to use anger and be, you know, what can I say, it's not nasty, but most of it was anger, to get what he wanted. It's quite interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just a different way of looking at it.
Yes, yeah. And it's just, by introducing something that was already his, you know, something that he... Mm-hmm. He loved, but that's the key, is finding something. The more you work with a client, the better you get to know them, and the more you can say, want to say doctor, but you can gear the session towards exactly who they are and exactly what it is that will work for them. And I think that's what makes the difference with a good practitioner. Yeah. Because you can do this on your own, and you can be very successful. I love when I can teach somebody how to do it and they actually do it, because on a daily basis you can most definitely take down, you know, sort of slightly difficult situations. But when you're doing this, you know, really, what can you say, deep diving, it's better to have somebody who's a professional and who's really
a guide.
good at what they do, like anything, right? Mm-hmm. Like anything.
Yeah. Yeah, because I imagine that, that if you took a deep dive like that, you could get lost in yourself and
You probably, but here's the thing: is what I've experienced is you might have some tears, right? You can, the grief. If there's grief underneath, then you know, better out than in, right? That's what they say in
intros,
right? So you know, when you're doing the tapping, you may have a little cry, and you might feel, you know, a little bit emotional, but it soon passes.
Yeah,
and so. It's not that you can't do it, and I really, you know, advocate that people do self-tapping, but to get to the nitty-gritty, you do need help.
Yeah. What was the toughest, or say the most difficult person that you find?
Well, you can't really talk about people in the, unless you have their permission, so...
No names.
But and I think that's another important thing that people need to know is the confidentiality is important.
Mm-hmm.
And but no names, the most difficult. Well, I as I say, that there are people who with head cases, right,
mm-hmm.
that do struggle, and when somebody has all the answers, because you'd be tapping and they interrupt you and say but
and okay then, yeah? Yeah,
and then it's like, okay, you have to and it stops the flow and then you have to start again. And but when you get a result, that person is so amazed and so grateful that they'll still keep doing it. They'll still find ways of interrupting you, but it's on the whole, it's, you know, it's they know they're getting somewhere. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, the challenge is getting them to trust you and to also hear you.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. I've never done EFT,
yeah.
But I have gone through through other methods of counseling,
yeah.
And things like that, either for relationships, mm-hmm. or traumas that have happened to me. When you first go in there, as the person who's being helped, you go in there and you're like, oh, I don't know this person, and
so
get all worked up, you know. Most people don't realize this out of me because I try to hide it really well, but I get anxious about meeting new people.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, am I going to do this right? Or am I going to flub it? That sort of thing, right? So it's the same thing with when I go to somebody for help with a problem. It's like, am I going to present a problem in the right way? Or are they going to be able to help me? What's going to happen? And I get all worked up inside. So how do you settle somebody down?
Well, I think it's really important to talk initially, and that's, again, it's experience, right? So I'm lucky because I've had a different and rather unusual life. So, you know, it doesn't take much for me to be able to talk about myself, right? So, but basically when a person comes along, and let's say it's you, then we would just generally talk about whatever's going on. It doesn't have to be anything, just to get over that initial hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can almost see people settle down. So, by body language, right? And so once there is some kind of comfort there, and we can just start tapping on just finding a way of settling them down, and so that they see that it's not that hard and that they can do it and that they're going to get a result quite quickly. So, but that's the thing, is building up the rapport is just as important as the work that you do. Because if you don't do that building, then whatever you do, that person's not going to take it on board, or they're not going to be receptive to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the other person, it's like a gift then.
Yes. Well, it is, yeah.
You are offering and they receive.
Yeah.
This is the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. Our two flagship stations, Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM, and of course our Tuesday show on CITR 101.9 FM on the Vancouver side. We're going to go right back with the interview in just a few moments here with Christina Amelia Hayes, I should say. So, yeah, so we should be back in just a moment.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
What is CITR's reputation, being that it's been around for so long?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's very active in the community because it's run by community members and UBC students, obviously. Whether you're into radio as a hobby or whether you want to get some real-world experience, it's a great place to go. It's like a very open and creative environment. Everybody that's, you know, working here seems really jazzed about what they're doing at the station. Just lots of really, like, good, like challenging music and spoken word content. It's a great station.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam territory. Learn how to get involved at citr.ca.
The Living Show here on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks, the NCRA Radio Networks. We're talking to Christina Amelia Hayes on the interview. So, Michael, take it away for your final segment.
And I can see how you can be very relaxing to be around. Actually, yeah. You are relaxing to be around. Because every time I've visited you, you and Deborah, that I still can't believe she's gone.
No, I know.
Yeah.
She was so vital and full of life.
Yeah.
But it's just the way things are.
Yeah. So, sorry.
No, it's all right.
It's like you both were just so easy and relaxing to be around. And I remember that you guys also got me to try a couple of different things to deal with my back pain and things like that, too. Mm. So. Crystals or something.
Yeah,
like
Deborah, the crystal bed. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we loved the biomat. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. When we both were very into alternative therapies, and you know, I've been since 1987 is when I first started to do different stuff, and I was still working in the hotel, but I was still studying meditation, and I did Reiki and lots of other things, mm-hmm. And so I'm an all-round therapist. I just loved EFT because it's quick and it's easy, and I can teach people how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean to say that there aren't other amazing things out there that are just as, you know, wonderful.
Yeah.
And that I use it for myself too.
Mm-hmm. So how does somebody find you to get you to help them?
Okay, well, I am in White Rock here in the beautiful BC. And I'm on Fridays, I'm down at Whitby's Books and Gifts on Friday afternoons from 12 till 6. And you can ring and make an appointment or look them up online, Whitby's Books and Gifts. And my own website is Christine Amala, and that's AmalaEFT.com. And there's more information on there, and you can book a session on there, or you can ring me.
So it's been a pleasure. Because we only live like a couple blocks from each other.
That's right.
So,
and we only just discovered that. So
on this warm day, you managed to walk over to my house. We're recording from my house because the co-op radio studio is being moved.
Right.
And that's going to be fun. We're going to go back to it's our old studio, but it's a new studio.
Right.
So it's been completely renovated and everything over there. And so in White Rock is a bit of a commute to UBC.
UBC, yeah, that's right. No, this was way easier. Thank you.
Yeah, so this worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
So thank you again, Dave. Thank you again, Christine.
You're welcome, Michael. And thank you very much for having me and inviting me to do this.
All right.
It's really exciting.
That was Michael interviewing Christina Amalia Hayes, the Emotional Freedom Practitioner. If you have a story idea for us, please let us know. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. That, once again, is communitylivingradio, all in one word, @gmail.com. Or you can reach us on Facebook and on Twitter. Our Facebook address is facebook.com/groups/CLivingRadio. And our Twitter account is @CLivingRadio. For the next few minutes, I'm going to play you some interviews with the name of N.
Well, that was a rebroadcast of Christine Amala Hayes with me, of course, Michael Rubin interviewing, and Kelly had broadcasted it and mixed everything together. So I want to thank Kelly for that. Kelly, is away until after Labor Day. He is doing his worldly help stuff. So, you know, Kelly's great for that. He helps people all the time, and when he comes back, he'll be meeting with the accessibility people and things like that to get things moving forward with the Accessibility Day, so lots of heart and love goes out to Kelly. So right now, to finish the show off, so I'm going to play a song from Zenobia Selig. Her song is called Sapphire Blue, and I met her while helping out at the Latin Fest over the weekend. She was a singer and at the music fest, and we might be doing some more work with her, and maybe we might have her come on the show and we might interview her. So we're going to play this first song by her. It's called Sapphire Blue.
Let me tell you something. Tune in every other Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. for Blood on the Saddle with your host, Dan N., for real, authentic country.
No. Snatches of music, whole orchestras play inside our heads.
And then it explodes into this enormous collage.